Good morning, everybody. It is morning. How was your week? Hopefully it was good. Got a little bit of sun there in there somewhere. What'd you do?
Work in the yard.
Yeah, work in the yard. All right. We all do what? What we decide is the most important thing to do, don't we? You think you don't, but you do. Sometimes you do things you don't want to do, right? You think you don't want to do, but you know that the consequences of not doing it is going to be worse than doing it. So you do it. Because we're all going to do the things that we say are the most important and are a priority. That's how we live. Sometimes we just wander around and are lazy and stuff, but we think, well, what I'm really trying to do is just enjoy myself, which is more important than actually doing the responsibilities that I have. I'm still doing what I want, right? So my priorities just changed. We're going to look at that today a little bit. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 4, starting in verse 43? We've been looking at that last week. We're going to be looking at it again, finishing it up. Just wanted to say while you're turning in your Bibles there to this, the picnic is 2 weeks away from yesterday. This is designed to be an outreach event. That is only going to happen if you reach out and invite somebody in. Now, we're going to advertise this thing, you know, online and all the other places and put it out there, and maybe people will see it and come. But what we really need is for people that are here to reach out. Take some of those flyers. Give them to your neighbors. Give them to your friends. Talk to them. Invite them. Why? Because we just want to have food? No, because we want to introduce them to the thing that can save their life for eternity. And that's Jesus Christ, right? We want to introduce them to Christianity. We want to show them what it looks like as a family of God to get together and talk and have fun and love one another. And sometimes, yes, we eat. We're going to do that today after this service. Now, is that the point? What's the point? Growing in love for each other and for God, right? We're going to sit downstairs and eat some really good food probably and just in fellowship together because that's one of the things that we do to grow together in love for each other and God. So we want to get people to come. So I'm just going to ask you if you can talk to everybody that you can imagine about coming to this wonderful event. Who cares about the food? But we're going to have some fun stuff, and kids are going to come, and we're going to have a dunk tank. And you guys, I'm going to be sitting in the dunk tank, okay? I'm going to give you a chance to really show me how you think about me. You can put me underwater. Anyway, hopefully that'll be fun, and yes, we're going to have some fun, and hopefully the bouncy house thing and all that stuff, and having kids from the community come in. I'm going to try to demonstrate Center Shot. I'm going to invite people to come over, and let's look at the Center Shot program. That Center Shot program has been good. We put it out there for people to register, and within a week, it's full. And we're going to try to have two nights this coming session in September. So we're going to have it probably on Tuesday nights and Wednesday nights because we have more people. So I'm going to be over there talking to every kid I can find that comes to the picnic to say, are you interested in archery? Because we're going to have a Bible lesson too. Anyway, we need to reach out to the community. Why? Why do we need to reach out? We're going to be looking at that right here in this passage. What is important? What is the priority of life for human beings? There's really only one. There's lots of other things we get involved with. There's lots of other things we do. But there's really only one thing that matters. And that is having a relationship with God because it is going to determine your eternal destiny. Every one of us is going to die unless Jesus comes back first. We're going to stand in front of God, and he's either going to say, sorry, I don't know you, or come and be with me, my good and faithful servant. It's the most important thing. It's the highest priority in this life. It's the highest priority for all human beings, and 90% of them miss it. We need to be out there. Now, as Jack was saying, it's going to be part of the sermon, can we force people to become Christians? No. Because if the Holy Spirit isn't working in their hearts and minds to open themselves up so that when the message comes, they get it, they respond to it, and they come into the family of God. But do they need to hear the message? Yes, they do. That's where God says, hey, I'm going to use my people. And we're going to go out there and share what we have, this wonderful gift of eternal life. And we're going to share how that works in this life and in the next one. All right. So hopefully you're already there. Now we're going to read through this. We already went through the first three verses, 43, 44, 45. I'm going to read through them as well, and then we're going to be looking at verses 46 through 54. After these 2 days, he departed for Galilee. This is Jesus. For Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his own hometown. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, Passover. For they too had gone to the feast. So he came again to Cana. Now Cana, here's Galilee, and Judea's down. So then you got in the middle there, Samaria, and then up above you have Galilee. So he's coming down from Jerusalem, being at the feast of the Passover, and coming up and going to there. Okay, so he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made water into wine. You guys remember that one? And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. When the man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Well, the official said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. And Jesus said to him, go, your son will live. The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him, and he went on his way. And as he was going down back home, his servants met him and said, your son is recovering. And he asked them, when was the hour that he began to get better? And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left. The father knew that this was the hour when Jesus had said to him, your son will live. And he himself believed. Now listen to this. And he himself believed, and all of his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus had done when he had come from Judea to Galilee. All right. It's quite a story, isn't it? In this passage, a man comes to Jesus to ask him to help save his son's life. Now, you think that was a pretty high priority in this guy's life at the time? What do you think? You think he was worried about his job? You think he was worried about, you know, what he was going to have for dinner? What was he worried about? His son. Now, do you think that's a pretty, in this particular situation, do you think this guy's life and mind and heart was pretty well focused on one thing? What? My kid is about to die. For parents, all would have no doubt that would be our highest priority. Nobody wants to lose your child. And so, what was Jesus' real point here, though? Okay, he came to this life, to this earth, to this world, with the ability to, he could heal anyone. Has he done it before? Yes, he has. In fact, that's why the guy shows up. He's heard about it, all the stuff Jesus was doing. And all the miracles that Jesus had already done, and he'd saved people, and he'd fed people, and he'd turned water into wine right here in the same town. The word was out. Jesus is a guy who can do stuff. Jesus is a guy who can heal people. Was that Jesus' real mission when he came here? Is that all he did? Just keep bringing me. Now, were there times when people would gather around and just kept bringing him, and I'd probably just wore him out, man. Okay, you know, here, okay, what do you got? Let me see. I can fix that. But was that why he was really here? No. What did he really come for? That's right. To come live the perfect life, to die on a cross, and to save us from all of the sins that we committed, which ruined our relationship with God. What did I say was the number one priority of all human beings? Get back in relationship with God. So Jesus came to make that available for us. But while he was here, what was he trying to do? He was trying to do some things. Now, when he came, what were they expecting? What were they expecting, the Jews? Did they think somebody was coming? Yes, what did they call him? Messiah. Messiah's coming. Messiah's coming. He's coming, and we have some expectations about what that's going to look like. And we're expecting this really powerful guy that's going to raise up and bring the Jewish nation back into the epitome of this world. And they're going to be the number one people. And we're finally going to be up and get rid of these stinking Romans. And we're going to be in power. And here comes this guy, a lowly carpenter from a tiny little town that nobody cares about. And all of a sudden, he's saying he's God. So what is he trying to do in this particular instance? Could he have saved this kid's life, known about it? Could he have saved the life of everybody who was sick? Yes, could have. Did he do that? No. But in this particular instance, what was his point? What was he trying to do? Were other people around? Were his disciples around? Okay, what is he trying to show them at this particular point? Because he doesn't really tell them all the things at this point in his ministry. He has disciples, and people are coming to him. Why are they coming to him, though? He tells us right here, and he's told us before, hey, you're just looking to get healed. You're just looking for food. You're just looking for all the fun stuff that I can do for you, all the great stuff that I can do for you. But here, I need you to know one thing. I am the Son of God. Because without that, my death on the cross is going to mean nothing. I am the Son of God, and God has given me the power to heal. In fact, has God given him the power to raise people from the dead? Yes. So here is now the Messiah, the Son of God, and he is showing his disciples and the people around him that I am here. And I am God. Now, when he made that point, what happened? When he tells people, I am the Son of God, come here in human form, what did the people he came, the Jews, what was their response? We're going to kill you. That's blasphemy. Now, we know you're from God, Nicodemus says. We've seen all the cool stuff you can do. I mean, you heal this guy and all those wonderful things that you do and feeding the 5,000 and the 3,000 and healing people and raising Lazarus from the dead. All the things that you've done. Yeah, we get it. You've got some power there, but don't you go around telling people you're God, because we're going to kill you. But that's what he was trying to do. He was trying to prove to those who knew him that he was God, and he healed this boy's whatever it was he had. We don't know. We have no idea. And this was an official. This was an official. That's what some of the Bibles I read through, different translations say he called him an official. Some called him just an important person. But this was some important person that came that had some standing in the community. He was either part of the government or something, going to this lowly little carpenter dude. But he knew, or he believed. And he had seen, or at least heard, that this man, Jesus, can do anything and he can heal. And my son is about to die. And so he brought him. The greatest priority we can have, though, is to understand we are just like that little boy. Do we need to be healed? When we're born, are we born dead? Spiritually, yes. And so was it just as important, was it just as much of a priority when our life was saved, when we accepted Jesus Christ? Yes. Should that be the most important thing in our lives as we go through this life here? And just, what's the most important thing today? What am I going to say? Who am I going to talk to? Jack was talking about, how do we start these conversations with people? How do we say, okay, you know, street corner evangelism just doesn't really work very well anymore. Just standing on a street corner and saying, hey, you need to go to, you need Jesus or you're going to go to hell. Or where are you going to go? You know, but if you are able to start a conversation with people, say somehow, hey, like he said, oh, God, you won't believe it. I prayed about this thing and you just won't imagine how God did it. We're going to see how that applies to our own lives here. Because eventually, everyone's going to die and they're going to find out where they're going to spend eternity. We have the answer. Just like the boy, we were saved. All right. So here, let's take a look here. Go to the, say, we've already read through those. So he comes again to Galilee. And why is he returning to Galilee? You guys remember? It says back in John chapter 4, 1 through 3, which I'll read you real quick. Now, Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making more disciples and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus did not personally baptize them, only his disciples. He left Judea and departed for Galilee. So why was he leaving? Because he was getting too much notoriety about baptizing people. And was that really his mission? Was that why he was here? Is that what he wanted to be known for? Same thing with the miracles. Why is Jesus here? Because he's going to die and save us from our sins. Okay, so he's getting a little bit too much attention, and they're kind of comparing him to John the Baptist, who Jesus, yeah, remember, well, we talked about the story before John the Baptist. They were born, you know, and they knew each other. Elizabeth knew Mary, and they were pregnant at the same time, and Elizabeth comes over to Mary, and this, he says, baby jumped in her womb. So there was a real connection here with John the Baptist and Jesus. Okay, and so John the Baptist has been given a job, you know, a ministry, and he's out there and he's baptizing people, and that's why they call him John the Baptist. And so Jesus is there, and he's starting to get, his disciples are baptizing more people than John the Baptist. And he's like, no, that's not my point here. Let's leave and let's go somewhere else, because I'm not trying to get involved with that ministry with John the Baptist, and I don't want to be compared. I'm here for a different purpose, so let's just leave. So he does that. What it says there, he didn't baptize his own disciples. So, John 4, 1 through 3. Now, when he went and learned the Pharisees were making and baptizing more disciples than John, he left. We've talked about that one before. And then in 45, he was talking about when he went to Galilee, if people had seen what he was doing. So did they know? Yes, from John 2, 23 and 24, 25. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people believed in his name, and they saw the signs that he was doing. And so he is gaining some sort of popularity because of those things. But that was not his mission. So he comes to Galilee, he leaves down there in Judea, and he goes to Galilee, and he goes to Cana, where he had made water into wine early in his ministry. And there was an official from Capernaum. That's about 20 miles away, Capernaum, from Cana, who's an official. Now, again, we don't know exactly, is he a Jew? We think so. He's part of the officials of the government at the time in a bigger city of Capernaum. And said, when he had heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Okay, so what's going on here? A guy has a need. It's his number one priority. My son is about to die. I've heard about this Jesus character. I don't know him, but I've heard about him. He's 20 miles away. And he has the ability to heal people. We've heard it. We've heard all the things that the Jews and the people are coming back from Passover talking about, this Jesus guy. Look at all the things he can do. And so his priority is what? I need to save my son. I'll do anything I need to do. And so he walks 20 miles to talk to this lowly carpenter to see if maybe that would save his son from dying. So what does he do? So Jesus says to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Doesn't that seem like kind of a weird response? What do you think that was about? Guy comes in and says, hey, I need you to come heal my son. He's ready to die, and without you, I don't know what I'm going to do. And Jesus says, boy, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Now, they say, it says to him, but pretty much most of the commentaries are saying, why is he saying this? Has he said this before? Yes. And basically, he's saying this so that his disciples and the other people around him can hear. Because why is he getting so much attention? I'm not here to do signs and wonders, people. I can, and I'm going to do them to prove to you that I'm the Son of God. But you guys, you need to have some faith. Nope. The only thing you can do is when I can do all these cool things, then you'll believe that I'm somebody. Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. So the official says to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Okay, so he's telling Jesus and figuring, okay, I believe he's somebody who can do something. Jesus is already saying, yeah, I don't really want to be known for just healing people. I am here for a different reason. But okay, the guy says, come. Obviously to him, I need you to be there. You're going to have to come and actually be next to my son and probably put your hands on him and do everything, or, I don't know, wipe him with mud like you did the blind guy. I don't know, but you got to do something. But what was Jesus' response then? Go. Jesus says to him, go. Your son will live. And the man believed that the word that Jesus spoke to him was true, and he went on his way. Okay. Here's the need. Guy's got a horrible priority. I mean, this is number one. I got to save my son. I go there to the doctor, this guy, this magical doctor, carpenter dude, and he says, oh, go ahead and go. He'll be fine. I don't know. Really? But he went. And as he was going down back home, I don't know why they call it down. It's actually north, but it's 20 miles away, and I think he probably is going downhill. His servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better, and they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left. The father knew that that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, your son will live. And he himself believed and all of his household. And this was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. Okay. So what are we supposed to make from this? See, this is really about us. Were you saved? Was your life saved? Now, were you about ready to die physically? No. But were you dead spiritually? Yeah. Okay. And so we come, and maybe there's people here who haven't done it yet, but you need to. Number one priority in all of life, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and have eternal life. We were born dead. That's what the Bible says. Dead. Spiritually dead, separated from God. The only thing that really is going to matter in eternity, are you related with God or not? Okay. So we are all dead. Now, my mom's here. I don't think she went to the pastor and said, will you save my son? He's going to die and go to hell. But that was the truth, right? Without it. But it's not quite the same circumstances that we're seeing that this guy, okay, he's trying to save his son's life physically. And he goes to Jesus. And Jesus says, yes, I am the gift of life. And he talks, right? He talks, he tells the woman at the well, you know, I'm the living water. And she doesn't get it. And so some of this is metaphorical. He's going to save this kid's physical life. But what's the conclusion? 53. The father knew that this was the hour, said to him, your son shall live. And then what does it say? Last sentence. He himself believed, and all of his household. God used this event of saving this kid's life because that was the most important thing for Jesus? No. Was it the most important thing for the guy? Sure. And maybe for the kid too. I don't want to die. But Jesus had a point he was trying to make here. I am the source of real life. I'm going to show you how I can fix people here. But instead, what was the outcome? They all believed, and his household. Was this an opportunity to use this as an evangelistic event? Yes. Because people say, he saved that guy's life. He's Jesus. He must be God. Yes. Now, when they say all believed, did they, I mean, had Jesus told them, you know, I'm here and I'm God and I'm going to die on a cross and you're going to, no, that hadn't happened yet. But what was he telling people? I am here. I am Messiah. I am God. And they believed. They believed. They believed, and I'm guessing when it says that, they're going to go to heaven. They believed. The message that Jesus was trying to share with people while he was still alive on this earth is, here I am. I am the Son of God. I am the Messiah. I am going to die for you. Now, they don't all know that yet. Even the disciples didn't understand. Even the disciples, up to the point that he actually was crucified, were all freaked out and wondering, oh my gosh, he must have not been God. Can you imagine that? After all the things they'd seen? Jesus would go back again and say, see, you guys just have lots of signs and wonders, or you just don't believe. Even after I'm crucified, his disciples all ran off and were discouraged because, oh my goodness, he died, they got him. We thought he was God. But this was an opportunity to use as an evangelistic event to say, Jesus came. He saved my son. He brought him back to life. He didn't let him die. He must be God. He must be Messiah. And all of his household were saved. Here's my point. I'm going to end with this. You are the son that was going to die. You are the one whose life was saved. Use that event to prioritize in your own life, what should I be doing with that? You know, see, but we didn't go to the hospital and have someone tell us we're going to die, and then Jesus, and then our pastor or our Christian friend comes and shares the gospel, and we, you know, come out of there and we're all healed. I don't know how your acceptance of Jesus Christ happened in your life. Maybe there wasn't a lot of outside circumstances related to it, right? I don't know. But was it one of the most important events that you could ever have in your life? Yes! Use that. Use the things, and then take that and put it into your language when you talk to people and say, I was going to die and go to hell. Now here I am. I had nothing to do with it. I didn't fix myself. That was Jesus, and he came into this world and lived a perfect life and died on a cross, and now I get to be back in relationship with God. And it is the most wonderful thing I could ever imagine. And I'm going to spend eternity with God and with all my other Christian brothers and sisters who accepted Jesus Christ. And that is the most priority in my life. Yes, I was going to die, but now I'm alive because of Jesus. And I want that to prioritize what I'm going to be doing with that knowledge and how I'm going to use it. And I'm telling you, when Jesus said, and people won't believe unless they see signs and wonders, is somewhat true with the people that are out there now. And do you have signs and wonders in your life when Jesus answered prayers? When Jesus opened doors? Yes! You need to take those events and share them with other people and say, yes, I was dead, now I'm alive, and this is what Jesus did in my life. You should come, because when they just hear the gospel, that's not enough. They want to hear what Jesus did in people's lives. They want to see the miracles that Jesus is doing in the lives of his people. But we don't talk about it. There's tons of things. Just go through and write a list of all God's answered prayers. Just, God, I prayed about this. And you know what? Usually I pray about it. I don't even think about it after that. But if I go back and write it, if I write it down, I go back and say, yeah, you answered it just like this. Man, that was cool. But are we sharing those things? Are we sharing this? This was an incident that happened where a guy saw his son saved by Jesus and he accepted Jesus and he's going to heaven. We need to take all these events in our life where we can see the miracles that God has done for us. He saved us from eternal damnation. He saved our lives. Maybe he didn't heal you physically, so what? But if we take this, and this event became such a high priority in the life and in the mind of the Father that he went home and I'm sure shared it with his entire household and they were saved. Maybe God's not going to heal you physically, but he brought you into life when you accepted his son as your Lord and Savior. And believe it or not, I mean, this is what they say. And we recognize that this guy, it took faith, didn't it? It took faith. This guy's, here's the thing. Man, I got to walk 20 miles, talk to this guy who's a carpenter, lives in this rinky-dink town. I've never seen him. I'm hoping he's right. I'm going to walk down there. Okay, lots of stuff. But in faith, he accepted it. In faith, you accepted Jesus Christ. It did take faith. Now use that acceptance to say, yes, I know other people need faith. I can't give them faith. In fact, it says, by grace you are saved through faith. This is not of your own doing, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So we know it's a gift from God, right? It's a gift from God, the faith. So I can't make somebody choose Jesus, but I can take the experiences that I've had as a Christian, the answered prayers, the doors that were open, the doors that were closed, the peace that I got during trial, the comfort that I can have knowing God's working all things together for good in my life, even when the circumstances seem completely horrible. See, we have that hope that the rest of the world does not have, but are we sharing those things with other people? Yes. Here's the gospel, and you accept Jesus. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you how it worked in my life, because that's what people want to hear. That's what people want to hear. Share those things. Start a conversation with someone and share how Jesus worked in your life today. How he answered a prayer yesterday. Maybe he did physically heal someone in your family. Talk about it. Be ready, like this guy, to accept what God has done for you has created this priority in your life, that the most important thing I can do is to share the hope that I have. And use the circumstances in your life and how God has worked and changed you. They say, absolutely, true faith always comes with life changes. Why is that? Because when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, then the Holy Spirit has already been in there working, and he comes and he lives within us, inside us, and he uses the fruits of the Spirit to change our life, to make us somebody different. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, you are born again. That's what he said to Nicodemus. And now I am growing again and being transformed into the image of my Savior. And that is something that the Holy Spirit is doing in my life, and I want other people to see it. I am not the same guy. Thankfully, hopefully. And maybe when you became a Christian, people looked out and said, man, you're kind of different. Yeah, let me share with you why that is true. Yes, it's important to share the gospel. That's why I'm going to say, yes, it's important to have events and have people come in and eat. Maybe it'll get them in. But what do I want to see? Do I want to see somebody out there standing on the corner and just handing out gospel tracts? No. But do I want them to see my church family sitting out there together and fellowshipping with one another and having fun and loving one another? And they can see, man, I want what they got. I want what they got. How is it you guys are so kind to each other? How is it that you're so giving? How is it that you're so generous? I don't understand it. Life is not like that. The world is not like that. What happened? Why are you guys so different? Now, the unpleasant truth is that's not always true, is it? Sometimes we don't act any different than the rest of the world, but we should be. And you have the ability to do that for one reason. That's because the Holy Spirit's inside you and he's trying to transform you into the image of Christ. Well, that's what happened to this guy. His son was going to die. He went to the carpenter. The carpenter saved his son and it changed his life for the rest of eternity. And hopefully he shared that with his household. And that's why they are so saved as well. Take what you have and share it with someone else. Your experiences, your testimony, your answers to prayer, your seeing things that Jesus has done, and share that with somebody else. It's unfortunate, but what Jesus said is true, without signs and wonders. Did Jesus do signs and wonders in your life? Well, I know he did. Maybe it's just how he changed you, but you have them. And it helps people to understand and find out what Christianity is really about. All right, let's pray. Father, we are here, and most of the people in this room, as far as I can tell, Lord, are your children, have been saved, they're going to be in heaven together, we're going to spend that time together with you in eternity. But we need to take that and be thankful for it and use what you've done in our lives to share with other people so that they can not just see the gospel message, but see how it changes the lives of your people. Lord, we just pray that that's the way we can act, the way we can think, the way we can behave. That you're changing us from the inside, and we're going to share that miracle with the people around us. In Jesus' name, amen.